I'm a Social Security disability representation specialist. I don't work for Social Security. I work for you. I'm on your side. There's a huge difference in that, Cindy, so that's why I wanted to clarify that. I'm not going to give you a primer on Social Security disability and all the steps. I know that it's late in the afternoon, we've had lunch, and a lot of folks experience chronic fatigue. I figured if any of you are still awake, if I gave you a primer on disability, you'd be in a coma within about 5 minutes. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hit on a couple of points related to representing people on Social Security and a couple of things that are key points. Let me just preface it all by saying I believe that the Social Security disability process ought to be a process that we as intelligent citizens ought to be able to go tell the truth, give them all the facts, and somebody ought to be able to say, you're right, and you need some help, and here's the money you've paid into this system. We're going to help you. That's just not how it works. It ought to be that way, but it just doesn't. It's a several-step process. It can take months. It can take a couple of years, sometimes 3 and 4 years on the extreme cases. It is complicated. It is a situation that is not just a case of having a medical diagnosis. And that's my first real point I want everybody to understand. The definition of disability. According to Social Security, the definition of disability, a person is disabled if they have a medical condition that prohibits them from performing substantial gainful activity. Pretty clear, isn't it? Well, what the heck is substantial gainful activity? What does that mean? Basically, what they're saying is if you have a medical condition that causes you to not be able to work and earn enough money, okay, it's really related to how much money you can earn. And that's the figure that our government has set, and they call it substantial gainful activity. It changes each year. It goes up a little bit each year. This year, substantial gainful activity is $940 a month, which means you may be sick, you may be hurting, you may be semi-comatose, you may have brain fog, but if you can earn $941 a month, you're not disabled, according to Social Security. But it also means if you make $900 a month, we can argue your case for you and say that it's your medical condition that causes you to only be able to work a couple hours a week and you're only able to earn an amount less than that. So, yes, you can work as long as you don't go over substantial gainful activity. Because that brings up another point. A lot of people say to me, well, I've heard I can't apply for Social Security disability until I've been out of work 12 months. Has anybody ever heard that? It's not the truth. You can apply for it the day you stop working. Part of their question is, do you have a medical condition that's going to impair you for at least 12 consecutive months? We don't know that yet. This is the first day you're out of work. But let's put in an application. Why? Because it's going to take you 2 years to get to a decision, and that's going to cover that 12 months, and we don't know where you're going to be 12 months from now. A lady today asked me, made a comment. She says, I've been out of work 5 years, and I keep thinking I'm going to get better, so I've never applied. Big mistake. It's a big mistake because, one, once you apply, it's going to take a long time. So the sooner you apply, the sooner you're going to get farther down that highway. And if you wait another year, it's still going to be a 2 or 3 year process starting then. So go ahead and start it now. And it's pretty easy to start that application. You can do it online. It's pretty simple. If you go online on Social Security's website, ssa.gov, and you can do this yourself and get it started. Had a lot of folks tell me it's pretty confusing, and they call and they ask us for help, and we help them, you know, step them through that and get their application done for them. A lot of people that do this, what I do, will say, we don't want to talk to you until you've been denied twice. That's because that means you're at stage 3, ready for a hearing in front of a judge, and that's when they'll start helping you. I would always get clients coming to me at that stage, and I'd look at their material and go, you know, last year, if you had filled this out correctly at the start, we may have won your case without having to wait this long period of time. So based on where they are in the process, and if they need help getting it started, we'll do that. And hopefully, not always, but hopefully, they may win at stage one or stage two as opposed to stage three. Statistically, at stage one, 2 out of 3 people are denied. At stage two, 85% are denied. So it is an uphill battle. The good news is at a hearing, statistically, about 56% of the people that go to a hearing win their case. I will say, in defense of my profession, that figure is brought down to 56 by the people who go to hearings without a professional representative. You are in over your head at that point. Judges will tell you, get a representative. Are you sure you want to have this? So get a representative if you're going to go to a hearing. Because I mentioned the part about the concept of what is disability and that it really is a matter of how much you earn. And an example I always like to use to illustrate that, if we had, let's say a lady came in and she's in a wheelchair. She has suffered a traumatic injury. She fell, broke her neck, and is quadriplegic. Is she disabled? We'd say so, wouldn't we? Social Security might not. What if that lady was a stockbroker and using the technology of blowing into a tube, she can activate her wheelchair to move up to her computer and work for 1 hour a week and make a deal and makes $10,000? Going back to substantial gainful activity, is she disabled? No, because she's able, no matter how that she's able to earn. So see, it is tied into both a medical issue and your earnings. And the medical part is not just having a medical diagnosis. People say, gee, we don't have a diagnosis of Morgellons. I can't apply till I get a diagnosis. Well, that's not true either. It's not really a matter of having a diagnosis. It's a matter of having a medical condition that causes limitations to your ability to function. And it doesn't matter if it's called Morgellons or Lyme disease or rheumatoid arthritis or Sjogren's or lupus or what. If we can document the presence of those symptoms and relate it to how it impairs you, that can be a successful case. So I want to dispel the myths of that you got to wait 12 months, that if you don't have a diagnosis, you have no chance, and that by having a diagnosis guarantees it, because that doesn't either. The second big part of the formula of medical documentation, the second part is, so you've got Morgellons. How much does it impair you? So we get into the severity of impairment functioning. Dr. Smith used a term, activities of daily living, this morning. That's one of the things they look at. Also look at the actual functions related to whatever jobs you do. And keep this in mind, they're not just saying, yes, you can't perform the job you used to do. They're also wanting to say, but maybe you could you learned some skills doing that job that you did all your life until you became sick. And so we agree, you can't go back to doing that. But they're going to have a vocational expert present who will tell you that, well, a person with your limitations might not do what you used to do, but there's a job here in Central Texas or in Central California or wherever you are that we can find that you can do. And that vocational expert will sit there and quote out of the Dictionary of Occupational Titles all these jobs. And so that's also part of this whole formula and this whole decision process. That's why I encourage you that you need somebody that can understand the aspects of vocational issues, the aspects of medical issues, and the legal overview that this all comes together under Social Security. So I encourage you to do this. And I'm going to be brief and then answer any questions if you have any. What can you do? I get people from all over the country calling me now and asking me, well, do we have a case? First of all, it doesn't cost you anything to file. And that's why I say the day you stop work, yes, you hope you're going to get well, and yes, I hope you get better and go back to work because that's the best thing for you. But file the claim, okay? A year from now, if you're well and you've gone back to work, fine, the claim, you just drop the claim. No harm, no foul at all. Okay? I'm very happy to write Social Security and say we're withdrawing our request for a hearing because my client has gone back to work. And it's a day of celebration. If you didn't pick up one of the brochures, I'll put some more out there. But it says that I'm a former vocational rehabilitation counselor. I was a former voc rehab client before I was a rehab counselor. I'm a strong believer in rehabilitation and getting back to work because I know the benefits. It's much better if you're able to work than to receive disability. I look at that as this ought to be your last resort. But for a lot of folks, it is. And so we have to be sure then that we can win their case and do our very best. Don't wait to file. Document your symptoms. One of the most difficult cases I have is when someone calls and says, well, no doctor knows what I've got, so I don't go to a doctor. That's a mistake. It's a mistake because even though a doctor may not know what you have or be willing to give a diagnosis, the doctor can at least be treating you and can describe and document your symptoms. And that is critical. And it's also critical that you go to a doctor because you need to have a long-term relationship with a doctor who's going to be friendly to you. Because one of the final and most critical pieces in a Social Security disability case is information that comes from your treating physician. Your treating physician usually will be granted controlling weight by a judge if they've been seeing you pretty regularly for a long time and have been treating you. And so what we ask is, we ask your treating physician to complete a fairly brief questionnaire that really identifies how your condition limits you. Okay? In ways of, can you sit, can you stand, can you lift, can you concentrate? Do you have good days and bad days? Do you have bad days that are so bad you never get out of bed for a day or two? And how often does that happen? How many days of work might you miss a month? These are all part of this. But you need to have a good relationship with a doctor for that doctor to be willing to do that. I don't know why doctors, forgive me, Dr. Stricker, I know you're not one, but a lot of doctors say, I don't want to fill out questionnaires. I don't like to do it. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to treat people. So with a doctor who really knows you, usually that doctor is going to be willing then to do something like fill out a simple questionnaire because it'll really help you. But we can get a doctor to fill out a questionnaire. And I had a case, a Lyme disease case, the guy was always doctor shopping. He was looking for a doctor to give him this great diagnosis that finally settled it all. And you know how frustrating that is. He went to a doctor, and it was the last doctor he had seen, and so the doctor did fill out a questionnaire. It said all the things we needed him to say. Unfortunately, he had only seen my patient about twice. So the judge did not give that doctor any credibility, any weight at all. Social Security will send you out for a checkup to a doctor they pay for. And usually their attitude is, we're supposed to say this person has nothing wrong with them or nothing significant. And that's what they usually do. We are able to always overcome that because it was a one-time snapshot by a guy that just saw you once. When we overcome it when we show the treating physician's records and the treating physician's opinion. But if you don't have a treating physician, then you're in trouble. So my encouragement is be treated, have a relationship with a doctor, and follow their orders. They do look at noncompliance. Just a second. I'm gonna call you. So have a relationship with a doctor. Go to treatment. File early. Don't wait. And one last point. A lot of times doctors are so willing to help their patients and will write a letter to Social Security Administration, to whom it may concern, whatever. And it will say something like, my patient has had this condition for the last 8 years and that they suffer from Lyme disease and Morgellons, and will conclude by saying, all of this, my knowledge, my medical knowledge, all of this tells me my patient is disabled and is permanently disabled and cannot work. Now, that sounds like it would be a nice thing for your doctor to say. We get into the issue of territoriality with big bureaucracies like Social Security, VA, IRS, places like this. Social Security has a real strong belief that, wait a minute, your doctor does not tell us you're disabled. We make that decision. The verbiage is that's a decision reserved for the commissioner. And you'll see it all the time when we have a letter, a nice letter, that says that, and if it says my patient is disabled, using that term, disabled, you may as well throw it out the window. Because Social Security, literally, that little statement causes them, in their territoriality, to totally discount that. So I want to say, if you talk to your doctor and ask them to write a letter, tell them, please don't use the word disabled. Please describe my symptoms and say how my symptoms limit me in my functioning. But don't make a conclusion that I'm disabled. That's not a medical decision, according to Social Security. That's an administrative decision. So keep that in mind. And I think I've covered the key points. So I will ask, part of it, like I said, sometimes a doctor may say, I don't really know what you have, but I am at least willing to treat you and provide you, I'll prescribe medication to treat these symptoms, and I don't know what causes them. Also, I see doctors, we've had cases, one doctor says it's dermatitis with non-healing lesions. Here's also the point. When I'm before a judge, and if that judge says or indicates, I'll approve your client under this particular category of dermatitis with non-healing lesions, then fine. I'm not going to say, no, judge, you're wrong. It's got to be over here under Lyme disease. One, there's not a category for Lyme disease. But why argue that? It's like he's getting to where we want to go. He's going to approve my client. If he wants to call it somatoform disorder, if he wants to call it dermatitis, if the judge is going to approve it, we like it. Okay? So at that point, I'm not going to argue.
No matter what he says it is.
Right, right. If he's willing to approve it, you know? Yeah. Well, one of the biggest frustrations everybody I've ever talked to with this is finding a doctor. And unfortunately, we've been treating people here in Austin, in Ginger Savely, and she fled San Francisco. In Texas right now, finding a doctor that's willing to treat, it's very difficult. Dr. Forrester over in Pineville, Louisiana, has been one of the closest to Central Texas that I refer people to. David, you shared with me a doctor in Lufkin, I believe, that understands and treats Lyme disease. So yeah, that is a part of it. And so part of it's going to be finding a doctor that's at least willing to say, I don't know what it is, but I'll help you. I'll try to help you and try to build a relationship there. What else can we say at this point until CDC comes around and the whole medical profession, you know, starts to recognize this? Other questions? If you pick up my brochure, if you have questions, my brochure's got my phone number and my website on it, my email address. Call me or email me if you have questions, because I'm there as a resource to answer these questions for you. I'll help you. No problem there. And that's no charge. You know, I just want to be able to help all the way in the back. It includes earned income only. If you have passive income, that's not earned income. I'm assuming you're referring to investment income and things like that. That's not considered earned income. Okay. But that's a good question. Somebody right down here had a question. She left. Yes, ma'am. That's a good question. Okay. When you file your application, Social Security has a question that says, "What is your condition?" You have to tell them what conditions cause you impairment, okay? And if you say, I have Morgellons disease or Morgellons syndrome, not a good move. One, because again, they don't know what it is, so they're not even going to look at and investigate it, okay? Beyond what their little, very limited knowledge is on it. But you should say more than that. In other words, put it into more descriptive terms, but also don't forget you may have other problems that Lyme disease or Morgellons has caused. A lady called me from Anaheim yesterday with Morgellons, a dentist, and she said she got denied, and we started talking, and I said, well, what else do you have? And she's got severe degeneration of her entire spinal column. Well, that's another medical category under Social Security rule. And she didn't even tell them about that. That could be disabling in itself. But she didn't tell them about it. And if you don't tell them about it, they're not going to go give you a full body exam looking for something wrong. They only will look at what you've told them. Many times we've had to come in at the second stage or at an appeal and say, oops, let's go back and now let's include this. And that was my instruction to her, is let's reapply, let's file an appeal, and let's now, she faxed me her MRIs, and I'm looking at these MRIs going, my goodness, you've got severe back problems. This by itself could win. So I want you to understand, tell them everything you've got. Lumping them all together doesn't help, okay, because some people are confused and they say, well, do I get 50% disability or 75 or 100? That's the VA. The VA assigns percentages to veterans on how much disability they pay them. Social Security, it's all or none. So it doesn't matter if you get approved because you've got a back problem or a kidney problem or a liver problem. Okay, those are other categories. In fact, I can tell you, a back issue is a lot easier to prove than Morgellons or Lyme disease. And that's part of the problem, that they're, if the medical profession doesn't understand it, obviously people in my position don't have an inkling about it unless they've gotten into it. And that's why a lot of people come to me and they say, I went to an attorney or a disability representative, and they wouldn't take my case because they didn't know what I had. They didn't understand it. And they didn't see that we could prove it. That's a big thing out there. So I hope that answered that question that you had. Does it? In other words, yeah, tell them everything you've got. There is a case, let me just put a little asterisk by it. There is an instance in which lumping everything together can win your case. If you're over 50, have a high school education or less, okay, at that point they will allow us to lump all of the different disabling conditions you have together to count the overall effect. But until you turn 50, you're required to meet one medical category 100%. They call them listings. But one of those medical definitions in the category, you have to meet it 100% until you turn 50. So, you're young until you turn 50. We wish. And after you turn 50, now you're called approaching advanced age. So, did you have a question? Or are you just you're just being graceful? Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, good question. Yeah. Thank you very much. Doing what I do is recognized by Social Security. And I'm a non-attorney, okay? And people say, well, I thought you had to be an attorney to do that. Basically, Social Security says we don't care if you're an attorney or not. We want you to know what you're doing. And Social Security refuses to have a certification program, by the way. However, they do have a program that I went through where, you know, background search, education search, FBI search, letters from judges that I will do no harm, and pay them $1,000 to take a test and pass the test. Now, that sounds like a certification process, but they say it's not. But I think about 400 non-attorneys in the nation have passed that, and I'm one of those. And so that's how they recognize us. There's no difference in what they do. What they do, though, is on the fee. How are we paid? Our fee is determined solely by Social Security. It's 25% of any back pay that we're able to win for you.